Just raise your hand if you're thankful for what Jesus did. Amen. 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 I want to remind you, next week is graduation Sunday. Yeah, Peyton, you actually did graduate. We checked and made sure. We're going to have our graduates here. We're still waiting to see if Thomas is actually going to graduate, but no, they're all going to graduate. So we're excited about having that service next week. It's always an awesome, awesome time. It's a great milestone when you graduate. Great achievement. I want us to just begin to prepare our hearts as we begin to look over the next few weeks. We're going to look at some of the people that were in the book of Acts. We're going to look at their lives. How many of you have read through some of the scriptures and you find people that there's just a few verses mentioned about their name, but there's a significant impact that their life brings? There's quite a few of those people, and if we're not careful, they get lost in the verses and the pages because we think about the great, powerful men and women that are in the Bible. And so we're going to begin to look at some of those, and we're going to begin to see how God uses ordinary people. Anybody in here feel ordinary? I do. I feel ordinary. Just an ordinary country boy from North Carolina, transplanted into the Jackson County soil. I got roots down, though. I got roots. And four kids here. So, roots and fruit. I like that. How many of you know that most of the time you don't get like a five-year plan? When God, like when he says he's calling you, he's doing something, he doesn't give you like a five-year plan of what's going on most of the time. I remember when Carol and I moved in 1994, we were here on a two-year commitment with Lowe's. 94, 95, 96, 2017. How many of you know you don't get a five-year plan or 10-year plan with God? When God revealed the dreams to Joseph when he was a kid, God didn't reveal the pit he was going to be thrown into, Potiphar's prison that he was going to have to go through. He didn't reveal all those things. When God called Moses, Moses, one of the greatest leaders, God didn't give him all of the details over the next years, 40 years. He didn't tell him about the rebellious people and how the heartache, and he wasn't going to get to enter into the promised land. God didn't reveal all of those things. Or David, how about King David? Samuel anointed King David, God didn't reveal to David that he was going to have to be chased by Saul, threatened, and have to face Goliath and spend the nights in the caves and run for his life. How many of you know that when God calls you, he doesn't always reveal everything that's going to happen? Because if he was to reveal some of the things we'd have to go through, how many of you know that some of us would tuck tail and run? And yet, we follow after God. And I want you to write down this statement: the eternal significance of present faithfulness. The eternal significance of present faithfulness. Because I think sometimes we overlook what God's called us to, where God's called us, and who God's called us to. And really, what God's called us to is faithfulness, isn't he? He's called us to be faithful with where we're at and with who he's given us. A lot of times when we're following God, God doesn't shine this big spotlight on and show us everything that's coming. How many of you know that sometimes it feels like as things unfold with God, it's moment by moment? Do you ever feel that way? I mean, some days I may feel like it's day by day, but there's a lot of times I feel like it's moment by moment. A lot of times, instead of seeing the grand show and the spotlight shining, a lot of times I feel like I'm staring through a knot hole on the fence, you know, and you only get like just this perspective. Anybody with me? You just feel like I can just get through this right here. I can only focus right here. I think sometimes, I mean, our heart and our minds would not allow us to see the fullness of what God has, and we wouldn't be able to handle it, because if you're anything like me, I'll mess it up. I'll mess it up. I'll get the big head. I'll think it's, man, I can do this, or God, I got this, and I get out in front of God, and I'll just mess everything up. And so I'm thankful for the knot hole, for the old knot head. God gives a knot hole for a knot head so he can keep you focused, keep you straight. And I want us to understand, you're going to begin to see that there is eternal significance in our present day faithfulness. We're going to look at this little lady in Acts chapter 16, if you want to turn. Her name is Lydia. We got any Lydias in here today? Lydias? Huh? No? No Lydias? Her name's Lydia. How many of you remember reading about Lydia in the book of Acts? Just a few short verses for this lady, but there is eternal significance to this lady's life. I'm going to pick up in verse 11. I want to read through this scripture first, and then we're going to go and look at some of it. It says in verse 11, it says, "We boarded a boat at Troas, and we sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed in Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days. And on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia of Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she asked us to be her guest. If you agree with that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home, and she urged us until we agreed. Father, I pray that this word, God, would bring revelation to where we are today and to, God, what you're calling us to. Father, use your word to tear down strongholds, to set captives free. God, let your truth reign in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke is writing Acts, and Luke is pretty much going, and he's looking in this moment right here, he's following Paul's life, and he's communicating Paul's life in this moment. And so Paul has this vision, Macedonian vision, and it propels him to go. How many of you know that God will give us a vision and he'll send us? That vision will be what propels us to move out of our comfort zone. Amen? Many of you know this because if you've ever taken a job that you had to travel, you had to move your family. Hopefully, if you're a follower of Christ, God was leading you to move in that direction. And you know that it's not easy uprooting your family and moving hundreds of miles from your home, or maybe your security, or maybe your family, or the things that you know, the things you rely on. And God sometimes will take us outside of our comfort zones, outside of where we're complacent, so that he can stretch us to fit what he has for us. How many of you know that God has a call upon your lives? Every single one of you has a specific call, you have giftings and anointings, you have strengths and you have weaknesses, and God has a purpose for you. Amen. Now, Paul finds himself in Philippi. Why did he find himself in Philippi? Because he received a vision from the Lord that propelled him outside of where he was staying, where he was residing, where he was held up. And he put him in a place where God could begin to open up some doors. How many of you know if we stay where we're not supposed to be, the doors that are supposed to open will not open? You can't open a door unless you get in front of the door. Amen? And so if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're not going to be open the door that you're supposed to be opening. And so Paul listened to the Lord. It wasn't like Paul just walked over to Brownstown. Paul had to get on a ship. I mean, it cost him something. It was a journey. He had to get on a ship. He had to sail to one place and then sail to another. And he found himself right where God called him. And you're going to see why. He found himself in Philippi. Now, Philippi was a Roman colony. There was a lot of influence here in this city. And God never does anything accidentally. Let me just say that. It's not coincidentally. God does things intentionally because God understands the fullness. He knows the beginning and he knows the end, and that's the God that we serve. He knows all. And he'll put you where you're supposed to be because he knows what's coming. Amen? And so God put Paul and these brothers in the place of Philippi. Now, on the Sabbath, there was no synagogue in Philippi. There was no Jewish community there. So there was no synagogue. There was no house of worship. There was no place. So what did Paul do? Paul went outside of the city gates and he went to the riverbank. How many of you find that interesting that there was no place of worship? So Paul went outside the gates and went down to the river. And when he got to the river, he found a group of ladies that had gathered to worship the Lord. Amen. I love that, man, because when you're by the river, how many of you have been down by the river? It's a place of peace, isn't it? It's a place of life. It's a place of movement. And so Paul went to the place of life and the place of movement, and he found this group of ladies there worshiping the Lord. And one of them was Lydia. Now, let's understand this. Lydia's in this place of Philippi. This is not her hometown. But she's here in this place. There's no synagogue. There's nobody there that has told her about Jesus. And what does the scripture say about Lydia? It says that she's a worshiper of God. She's already worshiping God. The Spirit of God has already revealed to her, and she's already received what God has for her. And she believes in God. She's worshiping God. And so Paul comes and he tells her the gospel. He shares the gospel message with Lydia. Lydia's already got a fire burning in her heart for God. Now she's hearing the gospel message, and she jumps on board. So much so, it says that her whole household was baptized. Isn't that the beautiful thing? Where the mothers and fathers will lead, the children will follow. Amen? Where mothers and fathers will lead, children will follow. The whole household was saved. The whole household was baptized. Now, here's another thing. I love how God works and how God moves. Because God allowed this divine destiny of Paul meeting Lydia, because it says that Lydia, she sold purple fabric. And hey, that should be significant for us here in Seymour country. Amen? Because we are the purple owls, right? By the way, just going to throw this out. Girls on Tuesday and boys on Thursday won sectional titles. So let's give them a shout out. Amen. It was awesome. So she was a seller of purple fabric. Now, let's understand. Now, here's what I found out from a little bit of study. That you didn't just go down to the store and you just make some purple fabric. It wasn't that easy. I looked this up and it said that in those times, in those days, that they would have to get this purple dye out of these seashells. This some kind of seashell. And it would take 8,000 of them to make 1 gram of dye. I mean, you getting that? Poor seashells, man. It took a lot of seashells. But what I'm saying is the fabric that she sold was very expensive. Not normal people didn't just go buy purple fabric. She was connected with some of the major leaders, the wealthy people, the ones that had influence. You begin to see the picture here. God connects Paul with Lydia. Lydia's got connections. Lydia's got influence. Lydia's got open doors. The gospel comes to Lydia. Lydia begins to walk in the things of the Lord for her life. God begins to orchestrate this whole thing. What I want you to begin to see, though, is Paul, this is the first time that Paul is taking the gospel to the Gentiles. This is his first stop in Philippi. And he crosses paths with Lydia, who has great influence, who's a wealthy lady, who has purpose, and she's already worshiping to God, and the gospel connects with her life. And all heaven is about to break loose. Because the church from that point forward would flow out of that place to all of Europe and eventually into America. Lydia had no idea what was happening. All she knew is that the Spirit of God already revealed God to her. And now she was hearing about Jesus Christ and she accepted it with all of her heart. And she gave her life for the gospel. Even though she was just a merchant, she was a lady who sold purple fabric in a different city. She was kind of like a saleswoman. She found herself in love with Jesus. She found herself opening up her house. Here's what began to happen. Lydia said, "Hey, look, I receive what you get. Man, if you will, you come and stay at our house." Now, if you read the rest of this story and you begin to see just a little glimpse here, how many of you remember it was from this place that Paul, the ministry began to launch out of? Paul got thrown into prison, do you remember? In this place. And you remember God shook the doors and the prison doors opened up. Now, if you read in that scripture, where did they go back? Well, whose house did they go back to? To Lydia's house. They went back to her house. She began to be a launching pad for the ministry that God was trying to accomplish. And the church, everything flowed through that place. Lydia, listen, what I'm saying today is wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, Lydia was faithful in her present day. She used her resources, her finances, her house. She gave that for the gospel. And because she was faithful in those present days, in those present moments, listen, the whole church went out to Europe and eventually into America because it started in that place right there. What I find interesting about Lydia is that she was so faithful. She didn't care what people thought. Now, you know, in our day, we care what people think, right? For her, she had this great influence. She had a great business. She had a great enterprise. And yet she became a mother of the gospel in this city. That was the first church that was started to the Gentiles right there. It was also the place that Paul wrote the letter of Philippians. How many of you love Philippians? It's one of my favorite letters that Paul wrote. And he wrote it to this church that started in Lydia's house and flowed out of that place. And because of Lydia's faithfulness in this place, millions, if not billions, of people came to the Lord because of her faithfulness. Now, the thing is, Lydia never saw any of that. Now, aren't we as Americans, we want to see things happen. We want to get things done. And sometimes God just calls us to be patient, to be faithful right where we're at. All of us have got this grand thing that we're thinking, man, God's called us to do this and that, and we got to go here, and we got to be this, and we got to do that, and if I'm not doing that, then I'm just not measuring up. But I'm going to tell you what, God calls us to be faithful. You look at Joseph's life, you look at Moses' life, you look at David's life, you look at Lydia's life. He calls you to be faithful in the small things. And when you're faithful in the small things, God will give you much. I'm going to tell you, the reason I feel like sometimes we don't get much is because we're not faithful in the little. We're ungrateful. We're ungrateful. We're impatient in the little. And God calls us to be faithful. He calls us to listen to Him. Now, Lydia's life, there's not a whole lot more that's said about Lydia. But one of the things that we do know, what town was she from? Who remembers? What was her hometown? Huh? Thyatira. What do we know about Revelations? There was 7 letters written to 7 churches. What was one of the churches that one of the letters was written to? Thyatira. That was her hometown. Now, there's no evidence to necessarily support this, but that was her hometown. I believe, and there's other people that believe, that she went back to her hometown and she birthed a church in that hometown. It only makes sense. It only makes sense. And so there's great significance. I hope you're seeing this, that sometimes we sow seeds in our faithfulness that we might not see the fullness of it. But if we're faithful in it, there will come a harvest in due season. And we might not get to taste it, but I guarantee you, it'll be a part of who you are. It'll be a part of your legacy. Because there's one thing I know for sure. Heaven doesn't forget. God doesn't forget what seeds you have been sown. He doesn't lose track. He doesn't forget. Sometimes in our marriages, we do a lot of great things, right, guys? We sow a lot of good seeds, right, Chuck? Sometimes our wives forget about how many seeds we've been sowing. Somebody made this comment. I think it was in our Marriage on the Rocks, marriage class that we did. I think he said, man, all your good seeds that you've sown, they expire at midnight. I'm going to tell you, I don't like that. Because sometimes when you mess up, man, people, they don't forget. But you sow good seeds and sometimes they forget. But I'm going to tell you why God doesn't forget. God sees your work. He sees your faithfulness. He knows the seeds you've sown. And what we don't understand is there's coming a harvest for those seeds. And what happened in Lydia's life is she was faithful. She was faithful in the little. She said, look, I've got some resources. I'm going to invest them for the kingdom of God. Hey, look, I've got a house. I'm going to invite you to come to my house. I'm going to feed you. I don't know this for sure, but I'm believing that she gave Paul a purple shirt. I'm just believing that. And it probably said owls right there on the back. Now, that's my interpretation. You don't have to take that. But she was faithful with the things that she had. Listen, let me tell you. We talked a little bit about my trip to Haiti last week. Let me just say this. You are blessed. You are blessed beyond blessed beyond blessed. You have resources. I'm going to tell you what. A lot of the people in Haiti think that all Americans are millionaires. That's kind of their mentality. And that's what they said when we were there. They think everybody in America is rich. And you know what? I have to agree with them. When you taste both and you come back, you say, yeah, we are rich. Let me say this. God's called you to be faithful with the little. Wherever you're at right now, whatever you have right now, you have a house, you have cars, you have some resources, you have whatever it is that you have, whatever God's entrusted to you. Listen, God's not trying to build things up for you so that you have a warehouse. That's the American mentality. The American mentality is, hey, we've got so much stuff, let's build some more barns so we can put some more stuff in it. But the kingdom of heaven's mentality is, hey, you're a distribution center. I'm going to get it to you so I can get it through you. Because all this is temporary anyway. And what we're planning for, what we're living for, what we're investing for is eternity. And Lydia's heart, something connected, something clicked. She was already worshiping God. God says, man, men and women will know that I am God by simply looking at creation. There's no excuse for not believing in God, because if you just look out and you see the sunrise or the sunset or the ocean or the mountain peaks, man, there's something in your heart that says, God, oh God. Or you look at the little ants or anything like that, man, it brings something that gives an awe of the wonder of God. And God says, look, I am calling you to be a distribution center. Amen. I want to get things to you so I can get them through you, so that we can build the kingdom of God, so that things can go on, so you can sow some seeds that's going to bring a harvest. Because we're not excited about all these things that don't matter. We get fired up about things that are eternal. Yeah, we live in the natural world and we got to do some natural things, but I'm telling you, when you're investing your life, you invest for the things of the kingdom, because those are the things that have the greatest return. And you will not be sorry. I can promise you that. Even if things don't look quite the way you think they should look right here, right now, in this earth, in your life, you will not be sorry on that day. Because the Word of God says that you will not be disappointed. Your faith will not disappoint you. I'm telling you, there's three things I want you to see with Lydia. I'm gonna shout them out to you. Number one, and this was the first thing. She was a worshiper of God. She's a worshiper of God. Let me say it like this. You can't give away what you don't have. It's impossible. You cannot give away what you don't have. And it all begins in the place of worshiping God. Because let me tell you, I think I can get a witness in here. It's in that place of worshiping God where you get full. Where there's something that begins to take place as you worship the Creator, that there's a fullness that begins to overflow out of your life. How many of you have been just riding down the road in your car and you got the worship music on, and all of a sudden, man, this song comes on, it touches your heart, you're singing at the top of your lungs, you don't care what you look like, you're like, Jesus, yeah, I mean, you're just, and you're not even looking to the left or the right, man, and all of a sudden tears start to come down your face and you're just worshiping the Lord. Has that happened to anybody before? Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time, but I mean, it happens. And see, it's in that moment you get so filled up that it flows out of your face. It flows out of your face. I mean, it flows out of your mouth, out of your eyes. You see, it's that place of worship. And that's what Lydia was. It says that was one of the things that God described her. She was a worshiper of God already. The second thing that you see in Lydia's life is she was a servant. She was a servant. No sooner had she been baptized, man, she invited these men that she had just met on the riverbank. Now, I don't suggest that to you. Don't go down the river and start inviting people to your house unless the Lord leads you in that direction. And you better check with your husband or your wife, make sure it's all right. Johnny said on Sunday, I just got these six people down the river, man. But no sooner than she received and was baptized, she said, hey, you apostles, you men of God, you come into my house. You come into my house. I guarantee you they had a spread for a meal. She gave them a nice place to sleep. It became a church. It became a house church. It became a place of launching. Amen? Don't you want your place to be a place of launching the kingdom? Be faithful with where you're at, with what you've got, with who God's called you to right now. And I promise you, because the Word of God says, I promise you, God will give you more. I can also promise you, if you're not faithful with where you're at, listen, you're not going to move forward. You'll be right where you're at. It's the way it happens with promotion. There's nobody that starts in a company, does the minimum, comes in late, doesn't show up to work sometimes, does a poor job, cusses out the boss, acts mad all the time, and the boss comes in and says, hey, man, I'm going to give you a promotion. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to promote you. I don't know why, but I'm going to promote you. That doesn't happen that way. People that are faithful with where they're at, what they've got, they're the ones that get promoted. The ones that work hard, the ones that do the things, they get promoted. Be a servant of God. Use the things that God's given you. Look, if you'll do what you do, God will do only what he can do. You do what you do, and God will save people's souls. I'm telling you. Do you not think we play a part in what God wants to do? Absolutely we do. Absolutely. The last thing is, number three, that what we see in Lydia's life is she was an ambassador. An ambassador for the gospel. What is an ambassador? Let's put it like this. It's a representative. Come on. We represent the one who sent us. An ambassador is one who represents someone who has been sent. How many of you know we've been sent? When you take on the gospel, when you receive Christ, Christ sends you and you become an ambassador. When are we an ambassador for Christ? When are we an ambassador? When? Always. That's the right answer. Always. You can never get away from being an ambassador for Christ. How about when you're at home with your wife and your kids? You can take a break, right? You can just act like an idiot, right? No. You are always an ambassador because there's always somebody's eyes are upon you. How about when you're all by yourself and nobody can see what you're doing? Then you can hang it up, right? You can just act however you want to. No, because there's still somebody watching in there. God's always there. He's always watching. Listen, what about when you're in a different city and nobody knows who you are? You can act however you want to, right, then? No. No, wherever you're at, you're an ambassador for Christ, and how you live your life matters, because there's going to be people that come in contact with your life. And let me tell you this, you might be the only Jesus that they see. You might be the only Bible that they ever read. We have a responsibility, and as an ambassador of Christ, we have the greatest responsibility, because we represent the greatest king that there ever was or ever will be. Amen? Listen, Lydia's got a lot to offer. Very, very just a few verses about this lady, but I'm telling you, the eternal impact of her life, the eternal significance of her life goes into the millions, if not billions, of followers of Christ that would come through that church. Isn't it amazing? What can your life, what is your life going to mean? What's your life, what's the significance of your life? Let me say this, it is greatly significant if you will surrender it to the will of God. I want to challenge you with this right here. Don't belittle where God's called you. Don't belittle to what God's called you to. And don't belittle to who God's called you to. Look, don't belittle being little. Because if you'll belittle, God will make you greater. It says if you'll humble yourself, that God will exalt you. I love that plan. Because so many times we want to exalt ourselves. And all the time God's calling us to a place of humility. Because he wants to be the one that exalts us based on his goodness, not our goodness. Never, you never know how much eternal significance that your present faithfulness may carry. You never know, because sometimes we never see it. So I'm telling you today, be faithful where you're at, to who you've been called to what you've been called to. Be faithful to where you're at. Ultimately, what we see with Lydia, just be faithful. Be faithful. Be committed to worshiping God, to being a servant, to be an ambassador for Christ wherever we go. Amen. There's a lot to be learned here, a lot to take in. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to pray and we're going to get ready to go support our youth out of the shelter house. They got a big cookout going out there. French fries, hamburgers, hot